Yes. Son of God. The cross. Guy who got tortured for our sake. That's good. A what? A dove. A dove, yes. Yes. He was eating an olive branch. The dove was eating the olive branch. So where's the olive branch? Okay. All right. So we got all these different things, right, about Jesus, all these different characteristics about him, Son of God, he's awesome, died for our sins, all of that. A lot of people just think, though, that he was this really nice guy. You know what I mean? Just a guy, you know, that wouldn't, I'm going to get, like, really close. Is that okay? Just start walking. You know, I'm probably just going to stay up there, actually. That is, you guys are a little scary. Joking. You're moderately scary. Where was I? Can someone remind me? Jesus, yes. Thank you. A lot of people just have this misconception that he's just this really overly nice guy, a little bit of a pushover. He goes, you know, and he'll like, oh, God loves you. You might want to change the way you do things, though. Maybe. If, like, you know, try not judging people so much, perhaps, if you feel like it. If not, it's okay. I've talked to a lot of non-Christians, and this is their belief, that he is just really this guy who doesn't really have any gumption. That is a proper word. Yeah. But that is not the case. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, we see that he gets in these arguments with these Pharisees. And it's so awesome. I love it when Jesus gets into arguments because he wins all the time. I love winning. And one of my favorite passages in the New Testament is in Matthew 23. I think that's the place, actually. If it's not, we'll just say it is for now. But if it's not, go check. But I'm pretty sure it's Matthew 23, where he says 7 different times, "Woe to you, you teachers of the law. Woe to you, you Pharisees." It is Matthew. Oh, I have it in my notes. It is Matthew 23. That's awesome. Thank you, past me. He goes out and he calls them hypocrites. He calls them brood of vipers, which is like sons of snakes, which could probably pass for another alternative that we say today. Non-Christians say today. We don't say it. Yeah. And all these different times, he just goes and calls them names, pretty much. And I love it. It's awesome. And he's not against using physical force, either. I have the thing here. The temple cleansing, where he goes into the temple. It's Passover time. All of his disciples go into the temple to celebrate Passover. And then he sees the money changers and the launderers and all that. And they're cheating people. And he gets super angry. And he just goes ham on them. And he just kicks them all out of the temple. He just rages on them all. I love the way John, all the Gospels talk about it, but John goes that extra step where he talks about how Jesus actually sits down in the middle of the temple, fashions a whip out of cords, takes the time. So it's not like it is a premeditated act that he's doing. He's not just doing this out of anger. He's actually premeditating to do this. Whips the people out of the temple. It's awesome. Yes. Put that in the win column. All these different times where he's just so angry at the people, the Pharisees and everything like that, for lying and for cheating. You know, to get back to it, though, he is really doing it out of a heart of compassion. And he is doing it out of a heart of love for the people that are sitting underneath their teaching and for the people who are suffering under them. Because he sees how they're treated and he sees how these Pharisees act and he's sick of it. He's had enough. And so he comes in and throws them out of the temple. Isn't that awesome? Yes, it's awesome. I'm really not going to go very long at all. I pretty much just zoomed through 3/4 of my notes. Where are we? Three quarters of the notes! Yes! Oh, yeah. You're going to have to. Yeah. So he does all of this. He causes them such great offense. And a lot of Christians nowadays, we kind of go out of our way to avoid a conflict. We go out of our way to not offend anybody. All this, you know, you hear all the time being politically correct. It's great. In moderation. I mean, you don't want to be mean to people, but a little bit of offense is actually okay. Jesus never offended people when it was his right to offend people. He only offended them when it was the truth. Because you see later on in, I believe it's in Matthew, the tale of the fish and the two coins. When Peter is like, oh, we have to go pay the taxes because the Pharisees are like, no, you're not paying taxes. And Jesus is like, why does the Son of God have to pay taxes to see his Father? But so that we don't offend them, pay the tax anyways. Offending people because it's your right to offend people is not good. Offending people because it's your right to offend people isn't right at all. But if someone gets offended because you speak the truth to them, that's not your problem. You're not the one responsible for how they take the truth. They're responsible for how they take the truth. I have a pastor friend named Zach. He pastors a church up in Aurelia. And I love how he says, it's not my reputation that's on the line, it's God's. When he gives a prophetic word, it's not his reputation that's on the line, it's God's. When he tells somebody something, when he gives them a gift, when he tries to bless them, it's not his reputation on the line, it's God's. So when you're telling people about Jesus and when you're sharing the truth, it's not your reputation that's at stake. It's God's. It's Jesus' reputation. And once we understand that, there's nothing that we can't do. There's nothing that'll stand in our way. Because it's not up to us to do it. We're just here to do what we see the Father does and to say what we hear the Father say. That's all Jesus did. And we're not called to do anything more than Jesus, because he was perfect. He was awesome. He was the best ever. We can't beat him. We can't out Jesus Jesus. We just need to do what he did, say what he said, and take the time to listen to what God says, to see what he says, to see what he does, and to do it. You want to do it? Yeah? You want to do it? You want to do it, Ernesto? Yeah? Tim wants to do it. Can I pray for you guys? You guys want to stand? Lord, I thank you for these people here. I thank you, God, for what you're doing and for what you're calling them into, Lord. And Father, I pray that that revelation goes deep within them, that it's not about them doing it, it's about you doing it. God loves people who don't know what they're doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would just wash over this place, that you would come and that you would meet every single person here and that you would give them a strength and you would give them a boldness, Father, to really see and to really do what it is that you want them to, Father. Give them ears to hear, Father, and eyes to see what it is that you are doing. And Lord, as struggles may come, as people will look at them and no doubt will start making fun of them, will start persecuting them, it's going to happen. Might as well accept it now. Because it's going to happen. Jesus says it. It's going to happen. Give them the perseverance, Father. Father, we just pray right now, Father, that you would be the target. That their eyes would not stray from you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So yeah, that's it.
'Cause I shake it sometimes. I'm like, and it goes. That was good. That was really good. I love that that Storm likes to admit that he didn't know what he's doing, but it was awesome. I don't know what you guys, but I thought he knew what he was doing. So praise God. Hey, Storm. Thank you, Lord. He backed you up big because that was good. I was getting hits back there, and I was like, oh, this is good. I like this. I receive it. I like what you talked about with reputation too, though, because like I remember being at your age and it was like, that's a really big deal, reputation, right? Because you feel like this pressure to have to try and be something. And so I really appreciate that you spoke into that, because it's true. It's God's reputation. And we may feel it a bit and get persecuted a bit, but really in the end, it comes down to him. So that's awesome. So we bless you, Storm. Thank you for just bringing that message. Abby was sign languaging me. I don't know what she's trying to tell me, though. Oh, and we have to take up an offering. That's good. Yeah, we never did that. So why don't we do that? I'll pray for the offering. So, Lord, we just thank you that we can give you the fruits that we have, whether it be a couple of nickels or a few dollars, or I pray that God blesses you with a lot and you get to put, you know, a few $100 in the plate someday, and that would be amazing. So Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness in our lives. And we want to give you everything. We want to give you our time and our hearts and our money. And so we just bless this offering in your name, Jesus. I was thinking about a storm when you were saying that. I was thinking about how, for me, it's funny, I find it interesting being here as an intern with youth speaking into your lives, because there's not too many of you here, if any, that are actually at the age that I was when I found Christ. Because I think I was 24, maybe 25. So maybe a couple, I don't know if you guys are 24 or 25, but maybe getting close. But so you're in a very different spot from where I was when I was your age. And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, wow, it's so interesting that I would be here as somebody that you guys could talk to, that could mentor you in your life, and yet I have no idea what it's like to be a teenager and a Christian. I can't imagine it. It must be so difficult to stand in the face of adversity when people are like, I don't know. I remember being a teenager, and to me, I was like, Christians are losers. Loser. Christian, loser, Christian, loser. And I put it together. And when I became a Christian, I was like 24, and I still thought, loser. I had a buddy of mine that was in the military. He gave his life to Christ. And I was like, you're a loser, man. Whatever. I was still friends with him. And I'm like, I don't get you. And he would talk to me about Jesus. And I'd be like, his last name was Smith. So his nickname was Smitty. And I'd be like, Smitty. And I threw probably a few F-bombs in there. Don't F in this, F in that, because that was pretty bad back then. But I'd be like, Smitty, if you still want to be my friend, don't talk to me about this effing Jesus, man. Seriously. I was like, I was so opposed to Christianity. And I heard a term that the harder you are opposed, the harder you fall. And man, when I gave my life to Christ, I felt pretty hard. And I was sold out, man. Sold out. Because he totally transformed my life. But when he did it, I accepted that I was now going to be a loser. Like, I still had this perception that Christianity equaled you're a loser. And so I was like God blew me away. I'll tell you guys my testimony of how God saved me someday, but it was just amazing. And there was no denying that God was real. There's no, absolutely no way that I could deny that Jesus was real and he saved me from my life, that I was reborn again. Absolutely, without a doubt in my mind, that happened. And literally wake up the next day and I'm like, I'm going to be a loser now. And I set out to live my life as this Christian loser. I was like, oh, I'm a Christian. But I had so much joy and I was filled with just such awesome feelings that I didn't care. I'm like, whatever. People are like, I expected people to be like, you're a loser. I'd be like, that's right. I'm a Christian loser. It's great. And I realized that I could still be cool. I don't know if you guys know it, but I'm cool. I really am. Yeah. And I realized that I was like, my perception of it was so wrong. But it took me a while to figure that out. Anyways, I just wanted to share that with you because I just think it's just funny that here I am. I am here for you. And I have no idea what you're going through. But at the same time, I do know part of it because I once was your age. And we all go through stuff as teenagers. And so I'm here for you guys if you ever need to talk. But the one good thing that I did think about when I was thinking about how I may not understand what it's like to be your age and a Christian is this. And this is very important. Hear me when I say this. There's one thing that I get to offer you that's just amazing. And that is that I know the road that you could walk down if you walk away from God. Because that's the road I walked before I found him. And I can share with you and give you insight into what that road looks like, where it leads, and what you're going to end up doing there, and how it's going to make you feel. And believe me, that is very valuable. You may not want that advice or that insight, but if you do want it, talk to me, because it's very important that you understand what the other side is like. Because the one thing that maybe you haven't experienced is, what are all the heathens doing? Right? If you're a Christian and you've walked a pretty good line with God, sometimes you may think, ah, but what is that? Like, if you were here on Friday, Sheldon was talking about how he was like, oh, I went to this party and I know I shouldn't have kind of went. Like, I was hanging out with the wrong people and they invited me and I was like, yeah. But they went and they're like, hey, have a beer. And he's like, no, I don't do that. And then, so he went to another party and they're like, hey, have a beer. And he's like, no. And he kept saying no until he finally said yes. And the real problem is, it isn't that he finally said yes to the beer. It's that he was at the party in the first place. Honestly. Because you may think that you can handle whatever's coming. I thought that I could handle it, even as a non-Christian. I was an athlete, and I didn't do any drugs. I didn't drink all through high school. I didn't do that stuff. Even though I wasn't Christian, I still didn't do that because I was so about sports and just being healthy. But then I got out of school, and I was like bent on being a party animal. And I chose to do things, and I thought there was a line that I would never cross. And you know what? It moves. It moves. Every time you compromise one thing, Sheldon was talking about compromise, and it's like, it's so true. As soon as you compromise one belief system, as soon as you make that one choice, it's so much easier to make the next one. I went from smoking pot to doing cocaine very quickly, and I was set on never doing hard drugs. I never thought I would even have smoked a joint, let alone snort cocaine. And I had a cocaine addiction that lasted a year. Let me tell you something. The line that you think that you'll never cross can be crossed so quickly, and it has so much to do with who you hang out with. If you hang out with people that are doing it, your conviction on not will only stand so long. Trust me, I know. Anyways, I have valuable insight into your lives and what it could be like on the bad side. Luke, I am your father. Join the dark side. I'm not there anymore, but I was. And so if you ever want to know what the dark side's like, come talk to me. I'll explain Darth Vader's life to you in detail. All right? Bless you guys. Stand up. Receive a closing benediction. I used to work at this church, and it was an Alliance church. And at the end of the service, this guy, his name was Ken Shigematsu. If you ever feel like just having fun saying a word, just say his last name, Shigematsu. Shigematsu. It was a really cool name. But Ken Shigematsu, at the end of every service, would be like, he'd like say, stand and receive the closing benediction. And I'd never been in a church that did that. And he would put out his hands and he would just pray over everyone as they left for the day. And you know what? It always made me feel so good. I can't explain why. It just made me feel like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go and get this day now. So I'm going to do that for you guys. So stand and receive the closing benediction. Hi. Lord, let your light shine in every heart here today. I pray that just as we were worshiping earlier and the joy was in this place, that the joy would never leave these hearts, that there would be joy for them beyond those doors in everything that comes at them today. Would you be there, standing there, meeting them face to face, be in everything, be in all things, be with them always, and pour out your love and let them see the love that you have for them in the faces and in the smiles of the people around them. And let them be the joy and the love to others as they smile upon them. I pray that they would be able to stand strong in their convictions in you and face adversity, brave and fearless. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you guys. Have a wonderful day. Amen.